We at the Pain Clinic are heartfully sorry for the passing of AEW's Brody Lee and former WWE Luke Harper. But we know him as John Huber, and we are truly sad about the passing. We send our condolences to his friends, his family, his wife and two kids, and everybody else who was touched by his kindness. Today's show was recorded before we found out the tragedy of his passing, and we will definitely have a tribute show next week for our fallen friend and warrior, John Huber.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 26th. That's right, one day after Christmas. I hope you got everything you wanted from, you know, that big man in the red suit coming down the chimney and stuff like that. And Santa Claus, too. A holiday today, real quick. It's National Candy Cane Day, which is kind of weird. It's the day after Christmas, but it's National Candy Cane Day. Yeah, we have a birthday today. Former WWE star Midian is 52. Danger, you remember Midian?
He was just on The Undertaker's special.
Okay, there we go. Midian, he was one of the Acolytes, was it?
He was in the groupie with him, and he was naked at one point.
Naked Midian.
He was also Phineas Godwin.
Phineas Godwin, yeah. Hog and Pig. Phineas and who was Hog? Henry O. The one who threw Triple H into a pigsty. One of the first pay-per-views I remember watching with my son. Okay, let's get it. Pinkling's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light and Empire Cover. Let me introduce you who's on the show today. It's me, your humble host, Cash Man, joined by DC Dan Cole in Rochester. Well, in Hilton, right? No. You're not in Hilton. You're in
parts unknown,
he,
but in New York.
He's in New York. He broke on through to the other side, and he's here. And Danger,
the right way.
Yes, and he's doing it with his left hand. By the way, no. And we are joined by Danger Boy too, as well. Danger is from where are you in Bristol, Connecticut? No,
Norwich, New York.
Norwich, New York. That's right. Where they make the aspirin, right?
Or they used to. Yes, they do not anymore.
And we're expecting the Artiste to show up fashionably late, as always, and he will pop in. But we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. It is the day after Christmas. We've only got a week left of this year, and still we're talking about doing the Painies. So it's not. I don't think the Painies will be on January 2nd, but I think maybe we can hold off until maybe the 9th. You know, maybe we'll do the Painies the 9th. And just the only reason I say that is because we might get a heck of a match in the next week, and then it might skew our list. But but DC, you're keeping track of that, right? Have people send you ideas for things for the Painies this year?
Yeah, we'll start doing that. I mean, we'll stick to our traditional list, and people can go to Facebook, let us know what they think should be on the ballot. Once we finalize the ballot, we'll do the online voting as always.
Sounds good. I cannot wait. It's always a lot of fun. We dress up sometimes. Most of us do. And and we will spend one, we throw it out there for the fans too. It's a vote. We pick like four matches and you guys pick which one's the best. So, or stuff like that, like the wrestlers, and it'll be a lot of fun. You'll get it, man. Just follow us on Facebook. It's on our Facebook page. So let's get into the guts. I gotta do my plugs. I did the Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Light Empire Culver. Interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fair, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fair. Always looking for any sort of volunteers. When we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. And I know if you missed last week's show, last week was our Gary Mervis Camp Good Days and Special Times show. And if you missed it, you can go back and actually on the Facebook, or I mean on our page, thepainclinic.net, is a recording that the artiste Furby and I did of what news in the past week and stuff. And it is really some really interesting stuff. We get into serious depth. We're not restrained by time, so it went a little long. I apologize, about an hour and like 15-20 minutes, but we're here now. We're back, you know, here on the radio, and you know, we're talking wrestling, and we're living through this whole, you know, this whole Christmas season, which is come and gone. And now we're going to talk a little bit about stuff that happened this past week. I'm going to start off with, we have AEW wrestling on Wednesday night. First night, I think, on TNT for basketball, though I believe the first game of basketball was the night before that. You know, basketball, it seemed like it just ended a month ago, but now it's back on. So now it'll be preempting AEW Dynamite every once in a while, which I hope not too often. But we got AEW Dynamite starting at 10 o'clock, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't make it to the end because it was on way too late. And I actually had to work on Christmas Eve, so I had to get up early in the morning. I will watch the end of it eventually. I just haven't had time yet to do it, but it's a fun show. I mean, you know, we got a lot of story progression. We got Sting interview, where it was a real interview this time, not just him, you know, wandering in circles in the ring. That's the whole thing about Sting, is he's been teased to interview the last like 3 weeks, and I don't remember him being interviewed once. You know, it's just maybe two words, like, I'm here, you know, and it's like, and then he points up at Darby Allin in the crowd or something. You know, there wasn't really a lot to it. So they actually had a real interview this past week, and it was nice to hear him talk about TNT and, you know, being back on TNT. And listen, he couldn't say it, but WCW, that's what he's talking about when he was talking about how he helped make the shows that were on that channel. And WCW, Monday Night Nitro, and, you know, so Danger, what did you think of Sting, you know, coming out and talking? It was actually not too bad an interview.
Oh, yeah, and I'd like to actually give him a reason. He gave a reason for being there and why he showed up. It's, you know, Dusty helped me out. Dusty gave me my spot. He gave me, you know, he put me in the program of Flair. So I'm going to return the favor by helping his kid out, and I needed to be there and all this stuff. So they actually tied history in together, and that was good. I still, you know, am kind of worried that the entire heel group is still not exactly able to take out a 61-year-old man just because he has a bat. But other than that, I'm you know, I was a huge Sting fan as a kid, so just any chance I get to see him, and he still looks in really good shape for his age. Not even for his age, he looked really good shape for 10 years ago. So, yeah, I'm glad they gave a good reason why he was there.
I will say, I saw him do something I've never seen him do before, ever, in the history of seeing Sting on TV, and that was do a Dusty Rhodes impression. Because he talked about how him and Dusty, how Dusty said, I need to give you some color, you know, and when he was talking about, you know, designing Sting, you know, for TV and stuff like that. I thought that was really pretty cool.
I think Sting misunderstood, though, because Dusty wanted to get some color the old-fashioned way. He wanted to have a blade job, and Sting put face paint on instead.
He did face paint, the dyed blonde straight-up hair, and the scorpion tights that were all different colors. So, I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool, but it was a pretty cool interview, and it's nice to finally, you know, and then it gets, of course, interrupted by Taz, and that's how all interviews ended. But, DC, what'd you think of the whole night in general? Did you get a chance to watch? I know it was on late.
Yeah, I did. I caught up with it. I like that segment. I find it interesting. Kind of, it seems to me like they're going to put a lot of push behind Darby, which, considering all the talent on that roster, I mean, nothing against Darby, but it's an interesting pairing to me, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. It helps set up, you know, the second night of their two night special for New Year's. But speaking of the Sting interview, I also was a fan this week of Tony Schiavone's sit-down interview with Sean Spears.
Yeah, yeah. Using that shoot angle that nobody ever, you know, gave me my due justice and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of his. I would like to see him succeed. He's kind of, you know, faded into the background a bit. after being featured, you know, towards the start of AEW's run on TNT. But I mean, overall, another solid show from AEW. I can't complain. It's some of the only wrestling I watch nowadays.
I will dispute that when Tony Schiavone said that Darby Allin is the face of TNT.
Yeah. It's like, I see what you're going for. Not going to buy it, but go for it.
But interesting enough, because of the NBA, we had to wait for the NBA to finish before we could go into AEW Dynamite. And there was some interesting stuff from fans as well as NBA players tweeting about things as soon as the show started. DC, what was going on?
There were let's just say AEW was once again trending, and Chris Jericho was once again trending, not for ratings, though, for what he looks like for NBA fans who haven't probably seen him since the early 2000s. Chris Jericho was taking a beating based on his appearance on Twitter. Due to that fall over crowd from NBA. Just some of the highlights. Let's see. Chris Jericho, what's he doing? Is he a king in this knockoff WWE? Celtics win and Chris Jericho is fat. Good night for me. let's see. Chris Jericho, fat as hell. Chris Jericho looks awful. Man, when did Chris Jericho get the beer belly? Is this Chris Jericho or Bret Michaels? Why am I watching a pudgy Chris Jericho wrestling? Why does he look like Ms. Trunchbull? I mean, he was getting raked. He was getting raked pretty good on Twitter following the NBA game.
Well, you know, it just shows you that NBA has a fairly big audience, and Chris Jericho got the stuffing knocked out of him by the fans of the NBA after when AEW had started. Hey, it's the Artiste. He made it. What's up, buddy?
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning. Yeah. So, hey, we were just talking about something. We're doing our first segment. We figured you'd come in fashionably late. But we were just talking about how Chris Jericho started up the AEW Dynamite this week, and the NBA players were tweeting about how it looked like he gained like 100 pounds, and they were just being mean about it. It was terrible.
Can't say I noticed that, but I think Dynamite started earlier than I anticipated because it's good for them. They were able to go like right in from the end of that game into Dynamite and not have to do like a post-game show or commercial break or anything. But I was late watching that. But I hope that's not going to happen on too many Wednesdays coming up.
No.
Here's the thing, though. I'm waiting to see how Jericho spins it.
Oh, he will. He definitely.
Right, he will. It's just how.
The last time someone was complaining about him looking different than he did 20 years ago, which everybody looks different after 20 years, but the last time it seemed like he kind of all of a sudden he was like, you know, all his shots from social media were him working out and doing sit-ups and in the weight room and stuff, so we'll see what this inspires Chris Jericho to do now, but that's not nice.
He looks kind of different every week. You never know which one he's going to get, which one like of the Jericho looks you're going to get. But sometimes he's like super trimmed down, and other times he looks like he doesn't care. But he's 50, so I mean, he's doing better than pretty much everybody.
Has anybody drawn the comparison to how he's starting to look like Randy the Ram from The Wrestler?
Oh, boy. Ram Jam.
Maybe that's, yeah. I want to see him do it. Get up on the corner and fly forward, forearm first, you know? Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I will say that, you know what? He definitely will respond. We're bound to see what happens. But on that note, we're going to take a break, come back. Got a lot to talk about. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Back to the Pain Clinic, and speaking of Chris Jericho, well, I'm not going to make you sing along to it, but I will say it was an impressive sing-along coming right out of the NBA game with Chris Jericho's song playing and everybody singing in the arena, even people that he probably may have hated and wrestled in the ring at one time singing along with his song there. But welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole. The Artiste joining us from Rochester, and Danger Boy from Norwich, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got that right this time. And Chris, that song goes out to Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho, can't wait to see how you respond. So we're going to talk about some other stuff now. We talked about that last segment. Talked about AEW Dynamite being on a little bit later after basketball, but we had TLC last weekend, TLC Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And significantly, not a lot happened, except for we have two new champs that came out of the pay-per-view. And one of the champs was we got a brand new tag, the Hurt Business. Wait a second, Hurt Business defeated the New Day, became the new tag team champs. And then immediately following that match, Asuka and mystery surprise partner Charlotte Flair took the women's tag team title from Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, which was, I'll be honest with you, both those matches were really good. And it was, I thought it was a good pay-per-view up to that point. Roman Reigns, of course, defended against Kevin Owens. That was a fun match. You know, you had to get the, obviously get the belt off of the, hanging above the ring with a ladder. And that was a, it was a real long match and everything, but I think Kevin Owens looked fantastic, and he did end up getting choked out on the top of the ladder, and that's how he lost. And then Randy Orton defeated the Fiend Bray Wyatt by lighting him on fire in the middle of the ring. It was you know, I mean, it was coming off the worst rated Raw in the history of Raw, and they went ahead with what they were doing still. You know, they still did went ahead and kept going in the same direction. You know, that's bound to change. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But anyone get a chance to watch a little bit of TLC this past weekend? I mean, I'll admit it early in the first segment that I kind of nodded off during the Fiend Orton match, because I was trying to figure out how they were going to light each other on fire, first of all. Because in the past, when we've had one of those Inferno matches, they had like a tray going around the ring edge, the ring apron, with flames in it. And I remember Stone Cold holding Kane's foot into it or something like that, and lighting Kane on fire that way. This was a little bit different. I mean, Randy Orton kind of doused the Fiend with gasoline and lit him on fire, and it was pretty violent. You know, I mean, I know it was done with Hollywood magic, so, I mean, obviously, it was...
You know, the magic of pre-produced wrestling.
Yes. That, you know, and they knew where they, you know, which is good, because I would, if that was live, then I would really worry. I'd wait for the guys to come out with the fire extinguishers, because he was really cooking there in the ring for a while.
We're going to put him out now, Slim Day.
Was that Danger?
We're still rolling. We can't put him out. The cameras are still going.
Danger, what did you think? I mean, it wasn't in the same vein as, you know, the last ride from The Undertaker, or, you know, some of those, you know, the whatever that match was called, the one in the.
I understand the point of, I think it's one of the dumbest stipulations they ever done, and I hated it when they did it back with Stone Cold and Kane and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
But the point of setting someone on fire, the fact he goes back out and grabs a gas can and covers him in gas before he does it, how's he not arrested on Monday night? How did he have cops waiting for him, like, backstage? That could be a completely different angle they could roll onto out of that. Instead, he's just like, yeah, I liked setting my fire. It was awesome. It's like,
hey, boys, I got the solution to low ratings. Murder.
Yeah, murder. That'll do it. I have a feeling that this probably was conceived way before they had those historic low ratings. So,
when are we going to keep matches and fire and gasoline away from Randy Orton? Have we learned nothing?
No.
I don't think so. And it's like, but, you know, I mean, and then, you know, we had, of course, on Monday Night Raw this week, we had Alexa Bliss, you know, in a swing set, apparently, in the ring that nobody saw until the lights went on the swing set.
The lights were on, and then they cut out. They got that swing set in there extremely quickly. I give them props on that one. That was the quickest setup of a swing set I've ever seen in my life.
Well, they got that in there, and she was suddenly on the swing set. And obviously, you know, I mean, the Fiend's a good guy now, so the Fiend, you know, will be back. You know, I don't know. He didn't burn to dust. It wasn't like, you know, Thanos snapped or anything, you know, and there was a poof. Yeah, they could have done that, though. That would have been pretty funny. You know, I mean, I think almost every time I see Roman Reigns now, I'm waiting for him to snap with that glove on his hand. You know, it looks like, you know, that gold glove he wears. I don't get it, you know. It's like... I just don't get it, you know. But, you know, I'm also not maybe the target demo for what they're doing. And maybe the target demo gets it, so I don't know. Nevertheless, that pay-per-view kind of that pay-per-view, I guess, would be the closing of the worst Raw ever. And now we're I think we continued on a little bit with Raw this past week, but now we've got this big announcement of a Legends Night. And to me, for some reason, Vince McMahon thinks ratings Legends equals ratings. And it's like, so he tries to have these Legends Nights when they need to get a bump in the ratings. And I'm scared to death. If you saw the list of people that they're coming, I mean, are these enough to... Here, I'll read who's going to be on this Legends Night. Now, tell me, are these legends or not? Okay, ready? Alicia Fox. No.
What? Although she was in one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time.
I don't even know. I thought maybe she was still in the active roster. Like
I thought she was, too. I don't remember him ever cutting her or anything. Okay, Beth Phoenix.
She's there every week. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Big Show. No, we're all.
Is he going to be heel or a face?
Yeah, we don't. He might be both.
Or both.
He might be both. Yeah. Boogeyman.
No.
Booker T.
There all the time.
Yeah. He's there all the time. Yeah.
Candice Michelle.
No.
No.
Hillbilly Jim.
No, sorry.
Okay, this one. This is one's up to interpretation. Hulk Hogan.
He technically is a legend, but. Even if they get ratings boost from any of this, how is it sustainable? You're not going to have these guys on every week, and all you're doing is showing that these guys are bigger stars than the guys you're putting on the ring.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what everyone's complaining about. It's like, well, what you got? These guys come in for 1 week, and that's going to fix everything? No. We got IRS.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, now you got me to watch.
Okay, IRS. Ivory.
Yeah, Ivory, for me,
Ivory's
but
a
for
Hall
most
of Famer.
People,
I think Ivory's a Hall of Famer, isn't she? Didn't Tina Ferrari get put in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so.
Okay, I thought she did. Okay, Jacqueline.
I don't know.
Okay.
Again, no. Debatable.
Legends, yeah, I mean.
How about this guy? Double J, J-A-R-R-R-E-T-T. No.
Legend in his head.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll give him a credit. Anytime that they use him on TV, it's more than I thought I was ever going to see him again. Okay, so because of, you know, the bad choices he made in his career. Jimmy Hart, yes.
Yes, legend.
Jimmy Hart's a legend.
Yes.
Kurt Angle. He's there every He's there every other week. Mark Henry.
I thought you were going to say Mark Marrow.
No.
Maybe. He's too busy giving motivational speeches somewhere.
Yeah. Melina.
Melina and Alicia Fox will be there?
Yeah.
Oh, does that mean Cameron will show up?
The greatest match ever. The greatest. Were we talking about Melina last week, Rob? A little bit. We mentioned that Melina was supposed to come back like 3 months ago and then never did. She was going to be associated. She was going to be associated with Robert Stone on NXT, and he was waiting for her to come, and she had surgery or something. But she's back next week. Coming up?
Who came up with that idea?
I don't know.
They actually retracted. Johnny Fairplay is the one who said he heard that, but he said he heard it from another podcast. So actually, someone made it up and said it. So it went around as news, but it wasn't actually real.
Okay.
Who's being an armchair like Booker at home? Like. You know what? We should bring back Melina and then put her with Robert Stone on it. What? Wait, like,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. Michael P.S. Hayes.
He's there
they're all the time.
Backstage every week.
Mickey James, who's on the active roster.
She's still on the active roster.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Ric Flair, who was on last week watching Charlotte.
He's on all the time. Not special.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Fine.
Again. Whatever.
Tatanka.
Finally, star power.
Tori Wilson. And Tori Wilson's the last one. Where's Trish? I mean, Trish, I think she's more of a legend than any of the women I mentioned.
Stuck in Canada, probably.
Stuck in Canada.
Oh, yeah, she probably is. So that's going to be coming up on TV. Let's see, when is it? January 4th. So it's the first Monday Night Raw of January. So they're waiting to start, you know, to get back some rating points in another week or so, you know, waiting for January 4th, you know. So, well, you know, I mean, I
guess, like, I give them credit for trying something. Most of these names we've seen so many times. I could not care less about Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair and the people that we see all the time. Like, the biggest pop I had there, I didn't read that list until you just read it off. Like, the most excited I am is Irwin R. Scheister. Sure. There were a couple other names. I was like, oh, okay, cool. The rest of it, like, I don't care. I don't know. Maybe there aren't that many names left for them to choose from that are in the States and alive and not with other companies or whatever. But
isn't IRS Kids Bray Wyatt? Isn't that Bray Wyatt?
Yep.
And Dallas, Bo Dallas, who we haven't seen in like a year, or at least. There's a lot of other names they could have used. I don't think what we're saying is it's not going to be a lot of star power to draw. You know, it'll be just as good as that one we went to in Buffalo where it's like
it's a failed attempt.
We're just dumbfounded when they's like, it's going to be, they're going to bring back bring back some people like Bret Hart, which I know has got beef with the company, bring back somebody that, we're not going to see, Some guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Again, their hands are tied. Like, it's an idea. It's something to try better than a normal week, I guess. But, I mean, there's got to be some other random names that are available. I don't know. Not the same old rehashed things every time.
Oh, no. But I agree. One more note before we go to break, and we were talking about the WWE programming from this past week. One big surprise on the pay-per-view was that The Miz cashed in his Money in the Bank in the middle of the match between Drew AJ Styles. Cashed in the middle of the match and then proceeded to lose. So the thing, though, the weirdness about that was, I think that apparently they might be able to get the briefcase back because it was Johnny who turned it in, not the Miz. Though they stopped the match to add him. I don't know, but Drew McIntyre is still your champion, and
So they're gonna protest the results of the ladder match for.
Yes.
Weeks or months, and great.
I don't really care. It's like, you know what?
And see if they can overturn it, go to the States. And yeah, I mean, yeah.
After seeing that myself, I said, you know what? Otis could have done that.
I do think that, like, every once in a while, somebody needs to lose on the cash in. It needs to not be a 100% of the time thing, like, to keep a little bit of intrigue in that.
It's happened the last 3 years like that, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the amazing thing too is they're not doing it at the right time. That cash in is supposed to be when the guy's impaired in the middle of the ring, where he's coming out and taking advantage of it. It's like they're not playing it right. I'm sure Jericho's mad.
And I would have been okay with a failed cash in for Otis because I'm sorry, he is absolutely not ready to be the face of the company.
Oh, I agree.
I would have been fine with Miz taking the belt back. It's been a decade. It would be something different than what we've been seeing over and over again. But I don't know. Maybe he just goes back to the mid-card.
Oh, yeah.
And despite that, Cash, not my biggest problem with WWE this week.
Oh. Okay, we are going to come back and find out.
I'm teasing.
We are going to come back and find out. We're going to take a break, come back, find out what Danny's talking about. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight Empire at Culver. I am the cast man, joined by the artiste, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and everybody else is in the hot tub of love. So, hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to the day after Christmas show. I hope Santa Claus brought you everything you wanted. And if he didn't, I hope you got some green and you can go buy what you want. But we're back here talking about...
I wanted him to bring me a hot tub so I could do this show remotely from a hot tub every week.
That sounds nice, actually. Yeah, that would be fun.
Maybe next year.
I know that there's hot tubs in the Holiday Inn on Jefferson Road. So that's about the best I could tell you. But welcome back to the show. We are here to talk about the world of pro wrestling.
It's a double tree now, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. Real quickly, I'm going to go through, before we go to get Danny's beef, we had the Slammy Awards this past week, and I'll read the who, is it has something to do with the Slammies? No?
Yes, it does.
Oh, whoa. Well, I was going to go through rapid fire through them all and let people know who won what.
Can you make one omission for me?
Sure, which one?
Don't do match of the year.
Okay, so this is what we got. Superstar of the year, Drew McIntyre. Rivalry of the year, Edge versus Randy Orton, which I think was two pay-per-views. Tag team of the year, the Street Profits. Return of the year, Edge. Ring gear of the year, New Day, of course, when they came out with that. What was the video game that they're mimicking? Gears of War.
Gears of War.
Yeah. Breakout star of the year, the Street Profits. Female superstar of the year, Sasha Banks. Male superstar of the year, Drew McIntyre. Moment of the year, The Undertaker's final farewell. Most creative 24/7 pin, Drew Gulak in a janitor outfit. Musical performance of the year, Elias. Well, I think he's won it every year they have something like that. Social media superstar of the year, Bayley. Trash talker of the year, Lacey Evans and the Hurt Business. WWE Network documentary of the year, Undertaker, The Last Ride. If they had any other documentaries, you can tell us about them because I have no idea what they were. Celebrity of the year, Rob Gronkowski. Ugh. Double cross of the year, Bayley betrays Sasha Banks. Referee of the year, Charles Robinson. Referee of the year. I don't think referees had names, you know, but you know Charles Robinson. We all know Charles. He's Little Nate. What was that, Danger?
I'm glad Little Nate won.
Yeah, I like Little Nate. He was a good guy. He's holding Ric Flair's. So we got match of the year, and I'm going to let Danny DC do this.
Okay. And actually, this will be a good way to plug the Painies, which will treat match of the year with the dignity and respect it deserves. Because first, WWE naming the Boneyard match the match of the year is awful. And please, God, I know this is me stepping up on my "it's still real to me, damn it" soapbox. But WWE, you had a match this year you billed as the greatest match ever. And you didn't think to give that match of the year?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead, you gave match of the year to a match that wasn't even a match.
It wasn't even a match.
It wasn't even a referee.
The greatest match ever, not the match of the year.
Yeah, in fact, they
consistency.
They erased two guys from that match who now work for Impact Wrestling.
Someone else?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe AEW, depends. You know, they seem to be aligning themselves with Kenny Omega. But, yeah, no, you know what? Yeah, we didn't get to Edge and Orton, which was the greatest match in the history of wrestling, to be disputed, it was good. You know, I think we discussed that when it happened. But, yeah, you know, it's like, and I don't know who voted on these Slammies, but.
You think somebody voted?
Vince goes, give me the list.
Give me the list, damn it.
That one. Who's that guy? I don't even know him. Okay, that one. I know. That's my Vince impression now.
Pretty spot on.
Yeah, it was. I'm not. You know, the Slammies would have been great.
Vince, ratings are down. Get all the old people on the phone. Well, damn it! I don't care if we're in a pandemic.
Last week we talked about it. We said if they want to increase their ratings, do the Slammies on TV and have like the historic guys come out and give them out. You know. You know. I mean, you know, who can forget when Owen Hart won for the best bow tie? You know, and he got two that year, and he was walking around with two Slammies, and one was for the best bow tie. He didn't wear a bow tie, and he still won it. Now, Bob,
the second Slammy he got, he didn't even win; he just stole.
He stole it. It was Bob.
Which is the best part.
It was Bob Backlund's. We all know that, or Bob Lonsberry. He's one of those guys. So, but excuse me, but yeah. So it's the Slammies would have been a great.
He makes me cough too.
The Slammies would have been a great angle to put on TV to increase ratings because that and especially if you had like the legends there, I think that would have been great. But
I'm making an edict right now. I will not accept the Boneyard match or the greatest match ever as nominees for the Painty match of the year.
Yeah, because neither of those were all freaking recorded well in advance of the night. So, yeah, I can understand that. It was.
I would be willing to give it to Bray Wyatt, John Cena.
That was not even a match, was it?
You know, I don't consider any of those.
Neither was the Boneyard match, but here we are, Cash.
Or the final deletion or whatever, none of them. None of them are actual wrestling matches.
No, the final deletion, I would agree as well. That was, I don't know what that was. There was the one match in Impact Wrestling too that was that done that way too with EC3 and
Moose.
And Moose, yeah. Which they had a couple matches leading up to that match where it was all done cinematically too.
Is there ever a thought where that could be like a morale thing? Like, not to go back to it and harp on it, but you know, for all the crap I give WWE, every now and then they do have legitimate great matches.
Yes.
Like, does it not cross their mind?
Cinematic match of the year could be a potential painy category, but
sure, especially with the year we've had. Go for it.
It needs to be separate. Yeah, and hopefully that's not a category every year. Hopefully those go away at some point. But
yeah, I think once we get back in front of crowds. So, but I will say one thing. A friend of ours had something to do with that match, and kudos to JB, Jeremy Borash. He had a lot to do with that match, and he was happy to see that it won. So it's like, unfortunately,
it was very creative. It was entertaining. I liked it a lot more the second time around. Like, I appreciate that, but that's not a wrestling match. It can win awards. I will give it awards. I'm not giving it a match award. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Taker or Styles or anybody. Like, what they did, what they put together was pretty cool. But it's match of the year has to happen in a ring.
I don't have a problem with that. And, I agree. And, we'll see what happens for this next year coming up. Maybe with people getting vaccinated, and maybe the world will start rotating again soon. I don't know. Jumping to some other news, I do want to mention that Impact this past week and next week are going to be like best of 2020s, which there's the joke right there, best of, they did have a bunch of shows that were taped in front of people early in the season. So when they were showing the best of this past week, you got to see some crowds, but it kind of made me miss it too. When I saw a crowd I miss going to wrestling. So, the next week is going to be a best of as well. So the whole Kenny Omega, Don Callis thing has been, they did do a commercial once again with Tony Schiavone and Tony Khan. But beyond that, they really can't advance what they're doing when they're just doing a best of. And AEW in the next couple of weeks, they're doing this New Year's Smash, which is starting the 30th, which is next Wednesday. And they got a pretty cool lineup for that. We got Kenny Omega versus Rey Fenix for the champs. That's going to be a great match. Jake Hager came out and challenged Wardlow this past Wednesday, and we're going to get Jake Hager and Wardlow. I don't even remember seeing Wardlow wrestle too much, so hopefully he's a good wrestler. I think he was. I think, he's good at smash matches or, crush ones. But
I think he's got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
From his matches so far, he's been good, but I think, he's nowhere near as good as he can be yet. So
yeah, we got Moxley is going to be back in action. We haven't seen him since he lost the title, and Shida versus Abaddon for the women's title, which I don't know if you saw this past week, but when Shida went to attack Abaddon, she looks like she broke the blood capsule on her neck or something, because Abaddon went to bite her, and it was just a weird looking blood spot. I don't know. Did you see that, Danger?
Yeah, it's weird, but it still makes more sense than Shayna Baszler biting someone's neck. So
yeah, because you don't do it once and don't do it again. It's one of those things that's in your repertoire. Like George Animal Steel used to eat the turnbuckle every time he was in the ring. Every time. But
shout out to Alex Gracia getting that spot on Dynamite against Shida too.
Yeah,
Circus alum. So
very cool.
Happy to see. Hopefully they keep her around. Full-time soon. So
just to me to mention, Smash Night 2, January 6th, we got Cody Rhodes versus Matt Sydal. Darby Allin's going to be taking on Brian Cage. That's going to be interesting. Two different, completely different style wrestlers, so that's going to be kind of fun. Got FTR versus Jurassic Express, and we kind of saw a build-up to Jurassic Express. I swore Marco Stunt broke his neck this past week when he got thrown down by Luchasaurus, and he looked like his neck freaking... You watch back in that match closely. He was doing a throw off his back, and it looked like his head or neck made contact with the wrestler, but his head shot down to the – it didn't look good, and he definitely rolled out of the ring for a while after that. But he had to cut a promo at the end and then think he was going to go beat up Tully Blanchard after the FTR had cut a promo on him. But we get to see FTR versus Jurassic Express. And then Snoop Dogg is making his appearance. And WWE is so thrilled about Snoop Dogg being on AEW. But that's when we're getting it. It's going to be January 6th. I'm guessing it's a Wednesday night. Both these are Wednesday nights. Yes. So
I don't. The one thing you mentioned in there that I'm skeptical about, that I'm always going to be skeptical about, is now you've got Darby Allin defending against Brian Cage, and I feel like we've had this kind of conversation a lot. Darby can't lose yet, obviously, but how many times are you going to find a way to get out of Brian Cage? Brian Cage can't lose. You gotta do something with this guy. I don't like that match being booked, to be honest. Like, either it ends in some kind of schmoz, or Cage gets buried again, and he's the type of guy who could be one of the top stars in that company. So I don't like the decision to have those two wrestling each other right now.
I agree. And I, you know, it's funny, you see,
it could be a great match, but yeah. I'm curious to see how they finish it.
Just remember how Cage, how he, his time in Impact ended, man. He won the title and then got hurt while he won the title and never showed up again. So, and then they put it on a woman. So just throwing that out there. We got to go to break on that. We're going to come back. We got one more segment with you. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC, Dan Cole, Danger Boy, the Artiste, and you. This is our last segment, usually our shorter segment of the night, but we're going to rip through some news and talk about some stuff. But first, I want to mention a very Gargano Christmas, and that was kind of fun. You know, it's nice that they allow some of the guys down in NXT to use their comedic talents to do some funny spoof things. And they had the Gargano Christmas where Johnny Gargano was handing out presents to everybody. And looks like he gave some way to, what's the dude's name? Who's the new dude in this group?
Theory.
Austin. Yeah. Austin Theory, where he was like,
Gargano Way Protein.
Yeah. Whey Protein, which was hilarious because at the very end of the night when they took the picture, he was like blowing it out and made like a big puff of smoke in the front of him. But, he gave, they gave the last name to indie wrestling, so that was pretty funny. It was just generally an interesting segment. I thought I got a laugh out of it, and it's fun that because I always wonder, like, some of these guys, we really don't know if they have the ability to do this stuff, and then you see them cut things like that, and it's like, you know what, this guy is a five star, five tool athlete when it comes to wrestling, and Johnny Gargano is. And thank goodness he's held that belt longer than one match now. But mentioning NXT, we got New Year's Evil coming up, and that's New Year's Evil special. Just added to it was Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa to do battle in the what's that thing called again? It's the
fight pit.
The thing that last time we saw Kurt Angle in WWE, he was like the special referee in the fight pit with Thatcher. And now Thatcher and Ciampa are going to be in the fight pit. But this is like hosted by Dexter Loomis, who never talks, who has been drawing pictures of what's going to happen. And it's really cool as they announced that Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez are going to be doing a Last Woman Standing match. I think that's really cool. I'm super psyched about that. Unfortunately, it's January 6th, which is the second day of the New Year's Smash for AEW. But they also get the fight pit with Ciampa and Thatcher. Karrion Kross is going to be taking on Damian Priest. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor in a rematch. I'm excited about that. The last time they wrestled, I thought was the best match I've seen on NXT TV this year. And then we got Kyle O'Reilly. Who is he? He wrestled someone a couple weeks ago or last week, which was like just
Pete Dunne.
Yeah, Pete Dunne, which was just an incredible match itself too. I thought it was a lot of fun. So got that coming up, which is pretty cool. Some real quick news. Unfortunately, we lost someone from the wrestling world this past week. Kevin Green, who was a NFL Hall of Famer. He also was a WCW. He was part of the Four Horsemen, I think, in the WCW. Kevin Green, that's back when Mongo was part of the Four Horsemen. Kevin Green, he was with the Carolina Panthers too, and he passed away at the age of 58. I heard, did not hear why, but I'm scared it might have been cancer or something, because he's so young, 58, he's too young to be passing away. But unfortunately, he was you have to be a WCW fan to know who he is, because he was an excellent athlete, and man, wrestled like crazy.
He's third all-time leader in sacks in the NFL history. He had a great NFL career. He's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Yeah.
But he was also a huge wrestling fan who became friends with Ric Flair, and got in. And
yeah, he went and played for the Steelers to finish out his career, I think. And he was just a great, seemed like a great guy in general. Some other news this past week, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this. WWE SmackDown superstar Daniel Bryan confirmed that his WWE contract's expiring soon, and the company is transitioning him into more of a part-time wrestler. I mean, it seems like he's been pretty much part-time for a while now that he's been booking SmackDown. Anyone have any thoughts on that? I mean, Daniel Bryan is still so over and charismatic with the crowd. He really is something you should keep on TV as much as you can.
I mean, it's good they're actually going to – it's good for him they're going to transition him into a part-time role because that cuts down on the wear and tear and he can spend time with his family. But at the same time, you know, it takes away from us. We know he's going to be a part-timer, but what he does on TV is great. So, you know, it's win-win for him. He'll get that time off he needs and he'll be able to heal up, but he'll still be able to do what he loves.
There was somebody I wish could jump ship to any other wrestling company. It would be him. I just think there's so many match possibilities out there that I would love to see right now. But I don't know. Well, there's not much else for him to accomplish in WWE at this point.
No, we got a lot of our wishes with when he first came there, and we got like him and Punk, him and Styles, some guys that just could burn the house down. I remember we had two back pay per views with him and Punk, and it was like the best matches of the year. You know, so yeah, but Daniel Bryan can do it. He's got a wrestling mind, and hopefully, you know, I mean, he does want to stay with WWE. They're willing to pay him to be part time. Then power be it. News came out this week. Wrestle Kingdom 15 is going to be January 4th and 5th. They got the lineups out. There's some great matchups in the lineups. You know, I could go through all of them, but I would trash half the names. But I mean, some of the guys like Okada and Ospreay. You know, Naito and Ibushi, you know, some great matches. Tanahashi and the great Okan. There's you know, that's the first night. Second night, got the winner of Naito and Ibushi versus Jay White for the IWGP Heavyweight and Intercontinental title. So, the second, you know, this is, you know that we always talk about Wrestle Kingdom from New Japan being one of the premier wrestling events of the year. And it's coming, of course, as always, the first weekend of the year. But I'm super excited. It's got some cool
always stuff. One of my favorite like shows of the year to watch. I will say, I mean, this goes for anything in wrestling. I'm not as excited for this as I normally am each year, but I'm still looking forward to watching it. So I think it's a little different obviously too, because they can't really travel people in as much for it and stuff like that, so their hands are tied like everybody else, but still should be worth checking out.
And for those that have never seen it, I always highly suggest it. One of the underappreciated, I think, factors or facets of Wrestle Kingdom is the fact that it does not stop. They don't have any of the stupid fluff or filler that you're going to see with a major WWE pay-per-view. They literally have the guys come out. They have their match. They exit the opposite end of the arena, and they start the next match. It's a solid, solid show from start to finish.
Yeah, so
definitely, it's one of those things that's still on my bucket list to get to someday. So, probably should have figured out a way to do that like a few years ago when their roster was more interesting than ever. But normally, hockey schedules interfere with that. But hopefully, someday.
Yeah, I was gonna say Kenny Omega was a mainstay on that for the few years in there where he was, you know, always in the title match for the IWGP Heavyweight title. So, and he won it the last time I saw it. He won it. They used to replay it on Access TV before they lost New Japan, which was great because you could watch it for free, and that was great. So you can still get this. I think it's on a pay service. It's on at least on New Japan's website. They'll tell you how to, you can definitely order it and get it. But one thing I want to mention that we didn't even get to yet at all, but this past SmackDown, Big E defeated Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship in a lumberjack match, which is pretty cool because Big E, we were trying to figure out, were they ever going to do anything with Big E? You know, I mean, and he just would show up and, like, you know, be the smart aleck in a lot of the, you know, other people's promos and stuff. But they finally put him over. He finally got that match with Sami Zayn after winning an elimination match the week before, and now he takes the title. Is this the start of Big E's big push, or is it, you know, I don't know. I mean, I like Big E.
One can hope.
Well, I tell you, when I hear the new Day come out, they still got the Big E intro on it. So it still comes out, you know, you still hear him come, you know, and of course he's not doing it live, but he definitely has the Big E intro on it. So Well, guys, we're coming to the end of the show, and we'll be back. We will be back in, is it the new year? Yeah, I think it'll be the new year when we can, next time I see you guys. And we got that coming up this week. So I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. I hope you all have a great, safe new year. Please, social distance. It's really, it's honestly the best way to go is a social distance. Wear your masks. And man, next year at this time, it'll probably be a different world. We might be back to normal or as close as we can get. You know, I would love to. So just, you know, suffer now and then worry about it later. But I want to thank you, Artis. Thank you, Danger. And thank you, Mr. DC in New York, joining us this week. And DC, you going to be around next week, too?
I will.
Okay. Might make it a double dipping of DC in New York.
Ooh.
That didn't sound right. We got to get out of here, but I want to thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll see you next week on Fox Sports 1280.